Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again. There we go. Today we continue our series on Forged in Fire. We're looking at the story of Daniel. We're in chapter 2 of the story of Daniel. And every chapter is filled with so much story that battle to put it all into one sermon, but we'll give it a try without making it too long. Last week, we spoke about the choice that is before us every day. That to be Christian, to walk a truly Christian path, is not just a once-off, Lord, I believe in you, but to then take that belief and to use that to choose every day between a heavenly self or a hellish self. A self that is giving and caring towards other people, or a self that is selfish and takes and wants from the world. And so that's a choice that lies before us every moment of every day and every interaction that we have with people. We can choose. How am I going to react? What choice am I going to make? A hellish choice to serve myself, or a heavenly choice to serve others. So our story continues from there in Daniel 2. And today we are looking at the topic of anxiety. Anxiety. Now, anxiety is something that we probably all experience. Who at this moment or during this week experienced anxiety? Anybody experience anxiety this week? Fear, worry, that goes along with that. Right? We all fear and worry and are anxious about things in our life. It seems to be a part of our life, and it seems to be something that we just got to deal with. We just got to work with it. There's no real way around it. But if we go to the Lord's Word and we read His Word, He says, do not worry. So the Lord tells us not to worry, but in our experience of life, boy, do we worry. Are we anxious? So it seems like the Lord is giving us a command that is just impossible to keep. How are we meant to get over or overcome anxiety in our lives? So that's going to be the focus of our story, and hopefully we get out the other side with something that we can do, a way forward to overcome anxiety. Now, why do we get anxious? Let me just give an example. If you have children, or you were a child, your child comes home and they're bringing their report card. And perhaps they don't achieve as well as you were hoping, or perhaps they even fail some subjects. And there is a reaction. Okay? You are now full of worry, full of anxiety, because you have an idea in your mind about where you see your child's life going. And if they do not meet these requirements, if the results are poor, that means their future becomes a little less unsure. Another example, perhaps we have experienced or we know about or we can imagine, or perhaps we are going through not having a job, or being retrenched from a job, or being retired from a job, or being terminated from a job. How does it make you feel if you suddenly without a job, right? We can imagine, if we haven't already experienced in our life, we can imagine the anxiety and the fear and the worry. We have bills to pay, we have a family to feed, we've got school fees, we've still got to get to, you know, try find other work. There's all sorts of things that we still got to do in life. And so we're filled with anxiety, we're filled with worry, we're filled with fear, because the future that we had planned out for ourselves now disappears. We can't see our way forward. We don't know what lies ahead of us. That idea that we had is obscure. This is where I want to turn to our story in Daniel. It's about the king having a dream that he can't remember. You can follow along in your pew card. We read the first three verses. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Okay, the king couldn't remember the dream. He's just sitting in the anxiety, knowing that something is wrong, but he can't see his dream. We live our lives pretty much the same way. King Nebuchadnezzar represents that state in our lives that we are probably in most of the time, where we are in that hellish, selfish state. King Nebuchadnezzar is us, in that state of selfishness where we think from ourselves. Now, you might say, well, hang on, I'm not hellish. Okay, well, we are. Think of this for example. How often during your day do you turn to the Lord and say, thank you to the Lord for helping me make this decision, or thank you to the Lord for the energy you gave me, or thank you to the Lord for this, and thank you for the Lord for that. And every moment of every day, how often are your thoughts with the Lord? Or are your thoughts consumed with this problem that I've got to sort out, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and then I've got to do this, and I've got to plan for that, and figure this out? And our minds are trapped in the things of this world. And very rarely do our minds lift up to the things of heaven. So we are down here in this hellish state most of the times. The hellish state being concerned with things of my life. But that's the way the Lord has designed things. Okay. I don't want you to get down and say, oh my goodness, I'm damned to hell. We spoke last week about the Lord giving us freedom to choose. The Lord gives us freedom to choose heaven. He gives us freedom to choose hell. But if we choose something and it's leading in a downward path, one thing I said last week was the Lord never leaves you. Even though the Lord gives us freedom to choose evil, the Lord walks with us. Right? There's that psalm, even if I make my bed in hell, Lord, you are there with me. The Lord is with us. So don't feel like, well, I'm in the selfish state and I'm damned to hell. No. The Lord is with you even in those moments. So what does the king do in this story? He calls on all his wise men, all the sorcerers and magicians, to come and tell him what his dream was about. Tell him what it means. And as the story goes, we find that nobody has an answer. None of his wise men have an answer. In our lives, when we are living our lives and something comes along to disrupt our plans of how we see our lives going, then we go to the things of this world and we're trying to make plans of how we're going to sort things out. How am I going to get my life back on track? How am I going to find a job? And we're trying to get things and ideas of this world to try and find some comfort in our path moving forward. But what we often find is in that state of anxiety and fear, we're looking for answers, but we won't find comfort. That anxiety and that fear persist in us. They consume us. And it seems like there no idea is going to lead me to the answer, is going to lead me to understanding what my future is. Filled with anxiety, filled with fear. But the Lord is with us. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. We read from the book called Secrets of Heaven. You can follow along in your pew card. It's talking about this place of anxiety where we can't find any answers. There's no solutions. We're still filled with anxiety and fear. The reason we are reduced to such ignorance is so that the persuasive light which shines from our hellish ego or the proprium may be extinguished. What the Lord allows to happen in our lives is if we've chosen a path that leads to an end, it leads nowhere, He allows us to experience that. And He allows it so that we can see that what we want and how we see the world has no power. We have no power to decide our future. We have no power to figure things out and to make the life our way. But we've got to see through our own experiences, because that's the way we learn. We learn through experience that if I follow myself, I'm going nowhere. The light of that selfish ego needs to be extinguished. So the Lord allows us to go through that process. He gives us the freedom to follow that choice all the way through until we get to that point where we have no answers. We're in ignorance. We're obscure. We can't see a way forward. Light from the hellish ego is such that it illuminates falsities as much as it does truths, and so leads to a belief that what is false by means of truths, and a belief in what is true by means of falsities, and at the same time to trust in ourselves. So our hellish state mixes up good and true things with evil and false things, so that we don't know what is true, we don't know what is false, and we end up trusting only in ourselves. That's where the hellish self is leading. That's King Nebuchadnezzar and his dream not being able to see it. But the story doesn't stop there. The story then continues, and who enters but Daniel? And Daniel represents that heavenly ego, that heavenly self that we have. Daniel enters the story. Why? Because in that state of despair and of anxiety and fear and worry, when we realize we don't have the answer, our conscience, Daniel, turns us to the Lord. Maybe the Lord can help us. And this is exactly how the Lord anticipates it going. This is exactly how the Lord designs our life, that we experience the powerlessness of ourself and have to turn to the Lord for His power. I want to read to you, carrying on from our teachings for the new church, the third paragraph. We are also reduced to such ignorance in order that we may be led through actual experience into recognition of the fact that no good or truth at all originates in ourselves or what is properly our own, but in the Lord. So this is a process that we all must go through. We all learn by experience. We experience the tough things in life not because we are being punished. That's a false idea. We go through difficult experiences in life because there is an opportunity. The difficulties in life are an opportunity that if we recognize it, is there to turn us back to the Lord because we have followed our own path. But we have to learn through actual experience. So Daniel comes to the king. Daniel has gone to the Lord, has gone to pray to the Lord, asked the Lord for answers, and the Lord gives Daniel the answers, and then Daniel comes back to deliver it to the king. So I just want to read to you from Daniel 27 to the end. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot be declared to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." Right? There is someone who does know. "And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon the bed were these. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image, the great image whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. Its image head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor, and wind scattered them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So the story describes how going to the Lord then allows us to see again. When we go to the Lord, we realize we've recognized we have no power. We've also recognized that there's something wrong in our lives. By going to the Lord, it offers us a perspective on our life. He encourages us to reflect on our life and to see exactly what it looks like. And we might have built ourselves a beautiful image, but the feet of this image were a mixture of clay and of iron. Its feet were a mixture of falsities and truths, a mixture of good things and bad things. Our lives are a mixture of good things and bad things. But it's a shaky, unsure foundation upon which to build the rest of our lives. And the only thing that we should build our house on is the rock. Build your house on the rock. The rock being the Lord, and more specifically, His word that He gives to us, His truths, His way that He gives to us. And so in this story, we see the rock coming down and destroying the feet and the whole image. And in place of that, something new from the Lord, a mountain that fills the whole earth. The Lord wants us to see our lives as they are. The Lord wants us to see our mistakes. The Lord wants us to see where we have gone wrong, where we are serving ourselves, and to choose something different. If we go back to the beginning of the story, when we are in a state of hellish selfishness, we are concerned with the results. We're concerned with outcomes. We want to know what's going to happen. We're concerned that we're doing the right things, that things are happening our way. That's where our focus is. That's where our energy is. But that's not where the Lord calls us to focus. The Lord calls us to focus on higher things, not on worldly things, but on higher things, on things that have to do with heaven, things that have to do with relationships, or things outside of ourselves. So let's go back to that story. That child comes home and they've got a report card, and on it probably they failed something. Our hellish, selfish ego sees that the results are not what we were expecting, not what we've been working towards, and gets angry and frustrated and anxious and worried at that child. Or we can choose differently. We can go to the Lord in that moment of fear and anxiety, lift our thoughts up and ask a different question about, well, what do I want? What are my intentions? And the Lord wants our intentions to be good, The Lord's working with us that our intentions are outward looking, that our intentions are what is best for other people and how do I do my best? That's the intentions. That's what the Lord wants us to look at, because we can do our best and the outcome might not turn out the way we had hoped, but the intention was good. We wanted to do our best and we were trying to do our best for other people. So as that child comes and brings us that report card, we lift our minds up and think, well, what is the best for them in this situation? Is it best for me to shout and scream at them? Or is it best for me to give them a hug and to sit down and have a quiet conversation with them? We can see the choice clearly between the anxiety, the fear, the worry, and something else that the Lord is offering us. The comfort, the peace, the quiet. Even in those times of turmoil. So we have a choice before us. How are we going to choose? Are we going to stay in that selfish part of our lives? Or are we going to turn to the Lord and lift up our minds and ask for His insights into how best we can serve other people? What is the best I can do in this situation? What is the small thing that I can do right now? I don't have to know the future. I don't have to plan the future. I can work in the moment. This moment is all I have. This is all I can work with, is this moment. What is the choice that you are going to make in this moment? We read from the teachings for the new church, that last little paragraph there. Those who are being reformed, or who are going through the process of rebirth, are reduced to ignorance, even to the state of despair, at which point they receive comfort and enlightenment. Comfort and enlightenment. So the teachings that the Lord gives us through His Word, the teachings that the Lord gives us through His teachings for the new church, give us a different perspective on how to deal with life's problems, how to deal with the anxiety that we feel. Does that mean now I can just not feel anxious anymore? No. Unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. As we're working with the Lord, as we're working in our spiritual lives, the Lord is pulling us slowly upwards towards heaven. You can imagine a spiral. And every time we go around the same point, it seems like we're fighting the same battle over and over again. But the truth is, we're moving higher. Every time that we choose in a moment of anxiety to lift our thoughts to the Lord and get comfort and enlightenment, we win that battle for a moment. And then our lives will return to anxiety. And then we will return to the Lord. And then our lives will return to that anxiety. And such is life. But what we become better at doing is recognizing that anxiety in us. We're able to recognize sooner when we're becoming anxious. And when we feel anxious, then we know, let me return to the Lord. Let me return to the Lord. And so we learn to spend less time in the anxious and more time in the Lord. And so that's a lifelong process. You can speak to people of all ages. They will tell you they are anxious, even to old age. But the Lord is working with us to draw us up constantly, constantly. And we've got to work with the Lord. We've got to make that choice over and over again so that we end up spending more time in the Lord and less time in our selfish ego. And that's the design that the Lord has for our lives. To return to Him in our times of need. Return to Him in our times of fear and anxiety. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, you are always with us. You never leave us, even in our darkest times. Even in our deepest despair, Lord, you are there. And Lord, you are pressing on our hearts and our minds to turn to you, to realize that of ourselves we have no power. But Lord, the power, the strength, and the courage to keep on moving comes from you. So Lord, as we go out into this week, as we face the difficulties of life, as fear and anxiety fill our minds and our hearts, Lord, will we remember in those moments to turn to you, to lift our thoughts and our hearts to you, that you might fill us with comfort and that you might fill us with an understanding, an insight into how we can choose differently in this moment, what we can do right now to live a life for you. Lord, we ask that you fill us with your courage, fill us with your strength, fill us with your love. Lord, from all these things comes our life. Lord, we ask that we are able to humble ourselves and draw on these things from you in our times of need. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.